Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. It's a very name-droppy story, but we were hanging out with Kevin Bacon, who I hope we have on the show soon. And Kevin told us an interesting story. Of course, there's no more recognizable a face than Kevin Bacon's. He's got such a unique Luke that a makeup artist friend of his put prosthetics on him. He went to all the places that he couldn't go to with his Kevin Bacon face. He went to the Grove and, you know, Universal City Walk and all these very public touristy places. And he said something along the lines of people were less friendly to him. He interpreted it as people being rude. He realized that it wasn't that they weren't being rude. They just weren't being extra friendly. For all those years, he had gotten the Kevin Bacon, like, extra friendly treatment from the guy at the Cinnabon.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. So he ripped off the mask and he was like,
I'm Kevin Bacon!
Look at this!
You just got bacon.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom. From Wondery, this is Justin Long, and you are listening to Life is Short.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Which brings us to this segment of our show called You Just Got Baconed. I'm here with my brother Christian.
Hello.
Yeah, there are two sides of being a recognizable person. With me, it's nothing. They have kind of a blasé response, but sometimes they have a very loud response. And when I was walking here to the studio today, and these girls who had gotten like 10, 15 feet past me started yelling my name. Justin! Justin! All these people looking at me, and they wanted me to turn around, and I resist. And, you know, 10 years ago, I probably would have.
And they wanted you to turn around, not necessarily because they wanted to meet you, but because they wanted to verify their suspicion that it was, in fact, you.
Yeah. Right? But I wonder how Lena Dunham, my guest today, would handle something like that. She's, I think, far more recognizable and also seems a lot better equipped to handle moments like that.
She probably would have handled that situation differently. She wouldn't have, like you did, run after the girls screaming, don't say my name in public. She would have handled it very differently. She probably would have gone up to them and introduced herself and been very respectful.
He's kidding. I just kept walking, which is also probably not the right way to handle it. She is, of course, the star and creator of the classic TV show Girls on HBO. I think it is a classic, and we'll go down as such.
Sure, of course.
Can something be a classic so shortly after it was off the air?
I don't know if there are rules for that.
How long does it take?
Cars, you need 20 years to be considered
a classic. Is that the
rule? As far as I know.
Really? So the station wagon, that Pontiac Bonneville we had when we were kids, that's a classic?
Classic. Weird. And I only know that because our father used to brag about that. He used to be like, we're driving a classic. And be like, yeah, technically, but... Not really.
Right.
You know, you think of like a cool car and you think of a classic.
So some like shitty paper I wrote in fifth grade is now a classic.
Yeah.
She's done something else that I'd like to talk to her about, which is she has maybe gone too far, you know, leaned too much into the public.
She's leaned too far in.
Oh, shit. That's good. Yeah. She's done them herself in by doing that. A lot of her mistakes have been are mistakes that people are aware of because of the public life that she lives.
Willingly.
Yeah.
She, you know, she'll show pictures of herself from the gynecologist's office, you know, be like about to undergo another
That's
procedure.
That's true.
That she opens her personal life up.
And makes it art and makes it... But it's art that is relatable, I think, to her because of that, because it's so honest.
But she talks about this, but I found it sort of inspiring that she does that in order to help other people and to make other people feel more comfortable who are going through a similar thing. So there's something very altruistic about her public life.
I don't think she gets credit for that enough. I think she gets...
Right, like agree or disagree, like whether you agree or not with her politics or her whatever, I don't think you can disagree with... her motivation.
Yeah.
And I think her motivation is
very
pretty admirable.
Yeah. And Lena, in addition to Girls and the things that she's already known for, she will soon be known for another classic work, a podcast called The C Word. It's a podcast that is all about women throughout history who have been called crazy. She's also got a great way with words, and that extends even to texting. We're both single and kind of struggling with being like, what are we like, you know, date in the world now? And how do you do that? I'm 40. She's much younger. But she sent she was like agreeing that like dating now is weird. She said, entering into a new relationship sounds so hard, I can't even believe it. It's like going to the gym with a hangover. It's such a great sentiment.
She's a good writer.
She's a good writer.
Good brain.
Yeah. Hell of a brain.
Good brain in that head.
So we're going to pick it. We're going to pick at that old brain of Lena's, and we hope you guys enjoy the brain picking sesh. And coming up after this.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do-do-do-do-shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Have you heard about the one where they make you eat hot wings?
And the point is to get somebody at their most vulnerable.
Yeah, it's like it gets spicier and spicier just as the questions heat up. I was like,
it sounds awful.
So awful.
Yeah, wrestling with like gastrointestinal.
I don't do well with any sort, like, I don't want to do anything that shows I'm fun.
Why is that then? Why?
Well, A, because I'm not fun, but B,
is that true?
Oh, thank you. But B, because like, I don't want to do anything where they're like, we're really trying to get you like to be who you really are. It's like, I'm already who I really am.
Right, right. I don't need the push.
It's like, I have this really dumb tattoo. Speaking of things that you do before you get sober, my friend Beth and I were getting tattoos and the tattoo artist was like, do you guys want to tattoo each other? And I was like, yeah, why would I pass up this opportunity? So I did a tattoo on Beth. It's not great. It's on her shoulder. It's a little kind of like design using the tattoo gun.
Oh, okay. Design of her creation?
No, mine. We tattooed each other and we were like, let's not tell each other what it says.
What?
Yeah.
You're close enough with someone who trusted you to do that? Vice versa?
I mean, I think there were other things at play, but yes, I do trust
this
her.
This is pre-sobriety.
Yes, I trust Beth. I trust Beth. Right. And yeah. I trust anti-anxiety medication. No, and then she tattooed on me, be yourself.
That's great.
Which is great, but it's sort of like, that's like the one thing I don't have a problem with.
Right.
So it's sort of like, she should have tattooed me with like, be less yourself.
Yeah.
Moderate your behavior a little bit around other people.
Yeah, I'm a creative
don't
force.
Tweet. Whenever the be yourself tattoo comes out, I'm just like, this is like, or like, it's right where they take my blood and they're like, the nurse is always like, be yourself, that's great. And I'm like, humiliated.
It should be like, insert needle here. That would have been a lot better. But it looks like it hurt a lot. It looks like it's an invulnerable.
It hurt, and she also had to go, oh, she's not an experienced tattoo artist, so she had to go over it.
I almost said I could tell, but it's actually, like, not bad.
It's not kinda, the worst, it's not the best. It's sort of like a primitive handwriting.
Yes, like a crumb, if crumb were to draw on you.
100%. And I have some dumb tattoos. At least that one was, like, administered to me by a friend who I will always love.
And it's a good story.
Yeah, I think it is kind of an okay story.
What'd you put on her?
It says, I'd like write her text and I'd be like, nobody but you, Beth, nobody but you. Uh-huh. Like just saying, so it says nobody but you on her shoulder. But it only sort of says that because I was less bold than she was with like really digging in. Because you have to like, I thought you could just like graze the skin, but it's like, no, you're really like kind of slicing in there.
So my only tattoo story is the beginning of those stories. The only cool part, I got drunk with Green Day, which was fun.
That is cool.
That's cool. That's it.
That's so cool.
That's for the cool ends.
In fourth grade, when I had no friends, I lied to everybody and said that I had Green Day tickets for my birthday. Like Dookie had just come out. And
uh-huh,
I was like,
sure.
I had the cassette tape and I was like, sucks you guys don't want to be my friend considering I have 15 Green Day tickets for my birthday. And then everyone was like, oh, really? Maybe we want to come. And I was like, never mind. I can only bring my friends from camp. Like it was an incredibly ornate lie.
Which you maybe hadn't thought through because then you know, if it works.
Yeah, and you then you don't have the tickets. It's awful. Wait, so you were drunk with Green Day.
Drunk with Green Day, and they were incredible. They couldn't believe that I didn't have any tattoos, which I found flattering because they thought...
You were the kind of cool guy.
Yeah.
I'm proof, Justin, that you don't have to be cool to have tattoos.
Well, I think you're cool, and I think you're cool in a way that it makes sense that you have tattoos, whereas...
That's nice.
I felt like I was kind of benign, and like there was an innocuous quality to me that like I was flattered that they suggested otherwise.
You're like, I'm the La Croix of people.
Yes, exactly. But like a lesser La Croix flavor, even, like a like a tangerine.
Yeah, totally. Get it.
Yeah. But they... So later that night, I said, well, you know what? I should get a tattoo. And they... And my girlfriend at the time suggested a heart. She was into hearts. And
I have to say, I know who that is.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, because they're notorious for their interest in yes, hearts. So if you're trying to, like, keep it private.
Yes.
I read the Daily Mail, Justin. I know what's right. going on.
Yeah, it was clearly gold in my ear. Yeah, so it was Drew. Yeah, Drew wanted a heart. And so they did the stick and poke. Billy Joe asked his security guy, who I think was also responsible for other things in his life, to get him a needle. Mm-hmm. And I'm the biggest germaphobe, and I didn't question where the needle came from.
You didn't go like, who's it been with?
Nope.
Who's it been in? You were like, I'm
nope.
ready.
Nope. That's the level of drunk I was.
And Billy Joe stick and poked your ankle.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
Which it was. And then a couple weeks went by, and it kind of scarred and then faded and scarred again. And after a while, it looked like little ringworm. It looked like a little... So now you have to stare at it. Yeah.
I have two stick and poke tattoos. One's on my butt, one's on my side. Both of them were done by my best friend, Jemima Kirk, who is really cool.
It's very cool.
Very hip, very cool.
Yes.
She did them both. Like, one day we were, like, gonna go see... I remember we were gonna go see... What are those movies that... Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
But then it was, like, sold out. And so we just stayed home and she stick and poked me. And then another time she did it on screen for a movie.
The one on the ass is for... That was the movie?
Yes.
Was
we
that
did it.
Tiny Furniture?
Yes,
for Tiny
she
Furniture.
Did it
yeah.
on screen in Tiny Furniture.
No
and,
shit.
And she's really good because she like really kept the continuity going. She was awesome and she did it like, I was like, I don't think I'm a good enough actor to pretend I'm getting a tattoo on my butt. So she was like, let's just do it.
Oh my God.
And then the other one was done when we were staying home because Paranormal Activity was sold.
And the one on the butt, you knew what that was?
It's a snake wrapped around the moon. That was what she wanted
oh
to do.
Oh my God, that's impressive that she was able to. That
she's
sounds...
really good. Like her, if you see ones she's done, you just think it was like a slightly drunk professional tattoo artist. She's very good. And the one on my side is... She had a dog for a long time named a boy named Rosie, and she tattooed Rosie's head
oh
on
my God.
Like a little sassy.
She's a really good artist.
She's really, I mean, she's a professional artist. She's a painter, and
that's
so
right.
she brings her and she keeps like a little book of her tattoo ideas, and she has it, and she has her needles, and everyone can pick their thing out of her book. Like it's
my
kind
God.
Of a good operation she has going.
Yeah.
on.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's only done two because you have several. You have many.
I had to count them actually the other day for a doctor for some reason. He was like, "How many tattoos do you have?" And I was like, "I don't know." And he's like, "Well,
for a doctor, weird."
It was like had to do with like blood donation,
uh-huh.
and I stopped at 40. I have more than 40.
God.
I was like, I can't do more than this.
And on the, I'm sure there's a spectrum of ones that you regret versus you mentioned. Like, I mean that one you're not wild about.
There's a couple I got. There's a couple I don't love. Like I kind of can accept them all as just like you know a kind of cozy reminder of where I was in my life. I have another one on my butt that is the neon sign of. That restaurant, the Odeon in Tribeca.
Yes, yes.
Just like, it
kind
doesn't...
Kind of cool dinery
yeah,
type.
Yeah, it's the first place I ever ate out as a kid. Like, I went there for brunch when I was like a week old, and it was...
Huh.
And it's where my friends and I usually went
oh, so it
in
has...
high school, and then it was where my ex-boyfriend and I had our first date or a second date. Like, it had things about it,
yeah.
and then I got it, but it's like orange and pink aren't like great tattoo color on the skin.
Right.
Like, it reads pretty...
Right.
It reads pretty skin diseasey.
Yes.
And also, like, this kind of amazing thing happened. I'm delighted to say on this podcast, which is after I got it, the Odeon was like, free food for life. And I was like, okay, this is the best choice I ever made.
Yeah.
And then I went and, like, ate a lot of stuff. And then afterwards, they just, like, brought me a bill. And I wasn't going to be the person who went up to them and was like, just so you know, the word Odeon's tattooed on my ass. Like, I was promised free food.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to just let it... slide, and I still go, and I still pay. I love it there.
Yeah, here's why I know I would have said something about the Odeon thing. When I used to do these, when I did the Apple commercials, the Mac commercials.
Oh yeah,
I had
I know.
Yeah, I had a 15% discount. I'll say it again, 15% discount. When they first told me, I was like, oh, that's cool, half off. I'll take
no,
that.
No, that's not enough.
Yeah.
15% yeah. off Apple products?
Yeah. So
when did you ever get like a choice of like five free things before it kicked over to 15%?
Yeah, they sent me an iPhone when they first came out. We were doing the iPhone commercial.
Yeah, if you're doing an iPhone commercial, you deserve an iPhone. It's good for them to have the guy who reps iPhones holding an iPhone.
So I couldn't set it up for some reason, and it is boring.
Because it's hard.
It was hard, and at the time, I think I had something about my credit. I had been traveling, and blah, blah, blah. But I just couldn't, and I was like, well, whatever. I'm fine with my flip phone. I have a phone. I don't need this new... I didn't even know what it did. And
yeah.
So I was with John Hodgman, who played the PC, and we were actually recording one of the commercials, and... If they had had a B-roll of the in-between, it would have been the most effective commercial because he, in the commercial, I, you know, arrogant, whatever, Mac guy is teaching PC, well, PC, this is what an iPhone does. And then in between takes, John, who had set his up, was showing me how it works. And I was like, holy fuck, this is insane. This thing is
incredible.
Guys,
yeah. Do you guys see what's yeah. happening
Look
here?
Look at this. It's amazing. And so I went, I remember all the executives would sit in the back of the, we were recording this big, you know, white expanse. And
yeah.
So I went back there and I was like, you guys, I talked to the prop guy and he has like six extra phones. I would love to, you know, use one. He said he could give me one. And at the end of the day, this kid came up to me and he goes, it's like teenager. And he was like, Mr. Long, like kind of like the kid in The Simpsons, like the pimply kid in The Simpsons. Yeah. He was like, Mr. Long, unfortunately, like there aren't the props. And I realized he was telling me I couldn't have one. And I was like, oh, that's it. He goes, I'm so sorry. I was like, that's okay. It's not your fault. Yeah. I was just sort of surprised. About a week later, I was photographed with a flip phone and it was sort of like a thing. It was like, look at the Mac.
It was like, look, the Mac guy has a flip
yes,
phone.
Yeah.
And they could have avoided that.
They could have avoided it. And that's when they sent me, they called my agents and they were like, you know, he should be using an iPhone. And they were like, well, can
and
you send him one?
One?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
incredible.
Mm-hmm. But the 15%, I remember going to the Apple store and saying, this is... You know, and they would say, I would say, you know, I have this discount. And they would go, oh, yeah, no, okay, I know. We know that you're the Apple guy. And they would always ring it up as a 10% discount. So then I'm faced with whether or not to say, it's actually 15%. You know, can you give me the extra 5%?
No, it's really hard. And also all of those things, like the thing I always say is like the things that celebrity are good for is like, like occasional charity, restaurant reservations,
yes.
and
yes.
like, yes. you know, airport assistance. Like those are just
yeah.
the only, and besides that, the
those
rest
are good,
of it,
yeah.
the rest of it, like I really am so pleased that I can get my father like a birthday dinner. My dad always wants reservations at places that like aren't even cool and everyone can get in anytime.
Like where?
But he likes to know he has a reservation. It'll be like a random sushi place on his street where it's like you could go at any time of the day and there would 100% be the exact table
yeah.
you wanted, but it makes him feel safe to know
yes,
we have a reservation.
Yes.
So like, I'll be like, don't worry, I'll have my people get on it. And then he is so impressed with me and loves me. And I'm like, I did nothing. It's like I got
yeah,
you into
yeah.
a Chipotle. Like, yeah. you don't.
yes. Apparently, Christopher Walken used to do that at the Chateau Marmont when he would stay there. He'd call down at like 4:10, you know, and he'd be like, yeah, I'd like a reservation for one. And they were like, yeah, in 5 minutes. And they were like, Mr. Walken, it's totally open. There's no one here. And he's like, okay, so that's one under one.
I understand, though, because you want to feel safe and like you know you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned those are the good things. Okay. So there's a lot of bad then, I would imagine. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, you've experienced
totally.
It. Like it's,
but not to the degree that you have, I have to say. And I think part of that is your reach is much, you have, it's much more expansive and your voice is a lot louder and as it should be, because it's an important one.
And that's very nice of you to say.
It's
depends
complete,
on the day, but.
No, it's true. And I should say this too. Speaking of your voice, you are going to lend your voice to a podcast, a new podcast called The C Word. Luminary, it's just out now.
Luminary's out. It's out now. It's an app. It's a podcasting app. So you could even hear this podcast on it because it lets you play all podcasts.
Cross promotion.
Yeah.
Hey.
Nice. We just high-fived for the viewers at home. And it was great.
It was great. It was pretty
It was pretty clean.
Yeah.
And we kind of had good...
connection.
Connection and hand overlap.
yes.
So I looked at his... For all the amateurs, you got to look at the other person's elbow.
Elbow, that's right.
Elbow eyes. But
eyes.
So yeah, it's... Luminary is an app that allows you to listen to a lot of podcasts and then also listen to like Luminary exclusive podcasts. So it's cool because it's not just me. It's like, you know, Trevor Noah and Celeste Barber and my friend Leon Nafok, who's a really amazing journalist, has a really great true crime podcast. And
is this a new app?
Then? It's a new app. And I love being part of a new app. It makes me feel like I'm really on the cutting edge. And I
doesn't
love
everybody.
Yes. Yeah. And I love to say to people like, oh, yeah, if you want to buy the app, and like I have a little code I can give to people, and it makes me feel really it makes me feel probably just 1/90th of how you felt when you represented Mac to the world.
Uh-huh. Well, I had a hard time. Yeah.
Maybe you didn't love being. Maybe you found it embarrassing when people would ask you questions about, like, what day does the new computer come out or whatever?
Well, they would often ask me technical questions that I was not at all equipped to answer. I know not to this day. I'm technically.
It's so crazy. I once was in a board interview to buy my first, like, little. I was buying this, like, little studio apartment in a building that was literally all people over 80, like, three or four people would die in the building a week. Like, there was always a stretcher outside,
right?
Because it was just where Jews go to die in Brooklyn. I had a neighbor called Rob who was, I don't know, like an 85-year-old musical theater actor, and he died on my watch three times. Like, he kept getting taken away on a stretcher, and then I'd see him in the hall and he'd be like, oh my god,
good news.
Yeah, he's here. So but
that's
they
exciting.
Were really like adamant that I tell them why HBO was so expensive, and I was like, I don't price HBO.
That's really funny.
And the whole interview I was like, do you want to know anything about, like, if I party, how many pets? Nope, you just want to know why HBO costs so much. And I wish really I were able funny. To give you that information.
And why is there so much nudity? Does there have to be so much nudity on the girls?
Oh my god, it's so fun when you, like, when my grandmother's friends, my grandmother, may she rest in peace, my grandmother had the best response, which was after she had some, like, if my grandmother was 92, she had some like 80-year-old friends who had seen the show who talked to me about it, and she called my mom and she was like, Lore, Vivian Jerome asked me why Lena's naked so much on television and why she had sex in that pipe in her movie, and I said, Viv, it's just what they do these days.
So she was the cool one for getting to answer.
Yeah,
like,
she loved it. Yeah, she was like, my grandma's favorite thing was to criticize us really intensely and then say to everybody else, like, I love my grandchildren no matter who they are. Like, we got the brunt of her hate. And then she could look incredibly accepting about our general just like her. It was her nightmare. Like, every one of her grandkids is either like queer or covered, like trans or covered in tattoos.
My grandmother would shit her pants if. I mean, in fact, I hope they don't listen to this, because just knowing that I have a tattoo that has now since faded
is too much. My grandmother was like, you're not going to be buried next to us. And I was like, crazy news, grandma. I wasn't going to do it anyway.
As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
You don't want to be buried.
No, I don't want to be buried. Yeah, do you want to be buried?
No. My body rotting. Although my dad, I talked to him recently. My dad, who's Catholic, I can't believe I've never, because I think about the afterlife all the time.
It's my whole life. I'm actually, the best thing about getting really sick in your 20s, I know this sounds like, not to take it like to a dark place, but the thing I always tell people is that the thing about getting really sick, spending a lot of time in the hospital, a lot of time thinking about your body and its fallibility and mortality is like, I do not have the same anxiety around dying that I used to. I don't want to do it right now.
Right, right.
But I feel as though my biggest fear around dying was like, what if I'm in a lot of pain before?
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced what it's like to be in a lot of pain, and I got through it. And I understand that there's people who help you through it, and that your pain is, you know, like mollified through. And also that,
that must be so comforting.
It's really nice because I'm like, there's actually nothing I can imagine going through. You know, do I want any of it? No, but. Yeah. If it were to happen, I actually understand I have the inner resources to deal with it, and that dying is not the worst thing that can happen to a person.
Not to labor the point and dwell on the darkness, but the death fixation is, so you mentioned like the pain, the potential pain, but it's not the nothingness, it's not the like lack of...
Not to be too much like of like this, but nothingness doesn't seem like viable to me. Like I just don't, it's like on a purely... like, I mean, obviously not a scientific level because I don't know what science is, but just on an instinctual level, I don't feel like that's where we're going. Mm-hmm. I don't claim to know what it is, but, and I also feel like if you're a person who like likes life and thinks life is really interesting and wants to try everything, why wouldn't you want to try dying at the appropriate time? I feel really lucky that my death fixation was lifted from me because it was a huge part of my childhood. It was a huge part of my teens. It was a
you
big
talk
part
about
of my
a lot.
20s.
I mean, it's in your work a lot. And that was, you think, the result of having gone through this illness, this real, by the way, we should talk about that. I mean, you had a hysterectomy at an early.
I did. It was young. I was 31. I was 31 when I had a hysterectomy. And that was my 12th surgery.
Christ.
So it had been a ride to get there.
So I was thinking about this when you talk about them taking out your uterus. I mean, like they removed.
Don't want to brag, but I've had. I don't want to get you guys too hot and bothered, but I've had.
Be careful.
I've had three organs removed.
And one of which, Jesus Christ. So
yeah.
You got, what do we got here? We got the uterus.
I don't have a uterus.
Yeah.
I don't have, check, please. Uh-huh. I don't have a right ovary.
Okay, good God.
For anyone who's fact checking, I accidentally said my left ovary had been removed on Instagram because I was still a little out of it from anesthesia.
For all the Lena Dunham nerds who are like, you know what? You actually said
left ovary. Don't have a right ovary. I don't have a uterus. I don't have a cervix, which is technically not an organ, but I do love talking about it because it means I don't need pap smears anymore.
Oh, that's cool. Now, I don't know how cool.
It's cool.
But I imagine it's cool.
It's cool. When you tell your girlfriends, they're like, ooh.
Yeah. yeah, luck.
But I do have a left ovary, and I do have lungs.
Well, now you're
and I
just
do
bragging.
Have eyes.
But you, and I think it was the uterus that you mentioned. The doctor said, "Oh my God, like that's the worst."
He
I mean, I don't know how they deliver the news.
This is the shittiest uterus I've ever seen.
Yeah, so
he told me it was a real sack of crap. But and it was interesting because you know women are so. I talk about this a lot. I like won't shut up about this. And there are definitely people. I mean, I don't really look at my Instagram comments anymore. But when I do, there are definitely people who are like, we get it. You had your uterus removed.
But
some people are starving. But
well, how do you reconcile that? I mean, that speaks to a larger thing, too, which is you share a lot. I mean, it's safe to say that you live in a very public. How do you deal with that? How do you separate? Because I don't know what
that's like. It's complicated. Something I've realized in the last year specifically is like, if you're a person who likes to share and if you're a person who likes to live in an open way, you also have to surround yourself, not necessarily with people who are like that, but people who accept that about you. I mean, I've definitely been in relationships and friendships where people kind of thought like, why do you have to do this? Like they treat it more like a compulsion. And I try to explain like, this is actually my work. Like,
this is
what I do. This is the way that I express myself.
I see. I don't know you that well. And when we were texting, you texted a photo of yourself at the gynecologist's office, which is not, I'm not saying anything out of turn. Like it's stuff that you put on Instagram that you.
And it was I was covered.
Yes, you were covered.
I felt it was appropriate.
When I responded with some, you were like, oh, I'm taking myself out on a date and a photo of like, and I made a joke about, not a funny one, but a joke.
It was funny.
Consensual. I hope you have consensual sex. And as soon as I sent it.
It was so funny.
Well, God, but God forbid it's met with like, okay, like that scene, and I'm jumping around a lot, with in the first episode or second episode of Girls with Birbiglia.
Where I make the date rape joke, which is based on a real thing that I did to a guy at a party.
Okay. There's I have to contextualize it. The scene is, for those of you who haven't seen it, Lena is applying for a job. Mike Birbiglia is the boss, and they're actually flirting and getting along so well.
Yeah, it seems like we're going to fall in love.
Yes.
Like, Mike's always like, if that scene had gone a different way, we like spend the rest of our lives together.
And it's so organic, and there's chemistry, and like, you guys seem, and it's nice because you've been dealing with Adam Driver's kind of like more solipsistic character.
Yeah.
And now
rough hang,
and certainly not attuned to your needs. And here's a guy who seems like, oh man, this is, and you make this great joke, but it's a date rape joke about he went to Syracuse and you said,
highest incidence of date rape. And then I'm like, so like statistically, I was like, I said something about like statistically, like, oh, I said, I have a friend who went there and she got raped. Like, was it you? It was something like
No, it's the statistics like took a nosedive and it happened to correspond when you left the school.
Oh, yeah. The statistics changed when you left the school.
It's a great joke. And Birbiglia's character just like does a 180. I mean, it's like an about face. It's great acting.
And he does not, which by the way, his reaction is like that of someone who date raped someone. Like that is
totally,
what,
totally.
That
yes.
is what has occurred. And
yes.
And that joke, I remember thinking like...
And that's 2012.
That's 2012, and not everyone loved it. I mean, not everyone loves any joke I make, but there were definitely people who were like that. And there was a couple of people who read the script who said, that's not funny.
Interesting.
But I was like, I mean, at that point, I hadn't been public about my own like assault experiences. I didn't kind of talk about those for another couple of years. But I just felt like, if I can't make this joke, I mean... This is a whole other area of what is safe to do
this
and what isn't safe to do. It's very complicated. And I remember being at a party like a year before Girls started and making, there was like some like kind of like, you know, some kind of like Brooklyn-y cartoonist, like the kind of person I would have like sort of awkwardly tried to date when I was 22. And I made a Syracuse date rape, like, seems like the city got a little safer when you left kind of thing.
Yes.
And it was just so unsuccessful. So unsuccessful. And it's interesting. The other day, I actually, like, I forget, because I have so many great collaborators who I can make all kinds of jokes to.
Yeah.
The other day, I was sitting next to a guy at a play who I kind of know. He's kind of hard to talk to, but nice and funny.
I'm so curious. Yeah.
And... he was like, how are you? And like, and I was like,
I know so many of those people. Hard to talk to and funny. Like, you want to get in there.
I want
to
get in
and
there.
And you cherish
really
moments
smart,
of like, yeah.
When it works, it works.
Oh,
and I'm
feels
like,
so
oh,
good.
I nailed it. Oh,
yes.
This person who's kind of tough hand
yes.
is like really. And I was sitting next to him and he was like, how are you doing? And I was like, well, I was like, I'm having an allergic reaction and an issue with my left ovary. So I'm on a lot of hormones, a lot of antihistamine, some steroid cream on my left cheek. And then I took a look and then I was like, am I beautiful to you? And it was like, there was just nothing.
How aroused are you?
Yeah, it was that kind of vibe. And he just wouldn't.
Ugh.
And then he sort of just like leaned forward and like adjusted his play program. And I was like, oh, it's so easy for me to still miss the mark. And like, I find like.
Yeah, but that's funny. See, the thing about that.
You took nicely to my texting because you and I don't know each other that well. But I've always felt so warmly towards you. And I sent you this picture of myself with like. Lotion all over my face. And I was like, can't wait to come to your play. Is there something on my face?
See, but comedy to me, I think it's important for the world and for comedy to be able to make that joke and comment on whether it is funny or not to you. That situation on Girls is funny, as it was when you were trying to impress or make a joke with the guy.
Am I beautiful to you?
Yeah, that's a funny moment.
I love calling guys I only kind of know Papa. You know, stuff like that.
But that's there's so in other words, so there's a
that's
long
the reason I feel like I could never be on a dating app is because I have absolutely no sense of how to appropriately communicate with someone that you're just meeting.
Okay, but that's what you do as a creative person, right? I mean, so what are your fears then about putting you did it on Girls for so long. You do it in life.
I don't mind like sort of putting it out to a diffuse audience. I find it much more intimidating to try to like engage with a person in a one-on-one way. Like if there's an audience, I don't even really hear their response. Like I know that they're there. I appreciate that they're there. I'm grateful that they're tuning in. But really, I'm making things for me. And if other people are engaged, but when you're dealing with someone one-on-one, you have to like care about their pleasure in their response. And like, I love to listen and I love to be present for somebody, but I don't know how to like, I'm pretty, like basically the two reactions I can get from people, like in a friendship or dating context is either that they are like oh my God, this is too much. I can't do this. I don't know how to engage with this person, or like, this is not comfortable. Or they immediately get so comfortable that I then feel subsumed by their needs and like overcome by the fact that they're like, I've never felt so comfortable with anybody. And I'm like, this is how we talk to everybody.
People misinterpret it as intimacy.
Yes. There's a lot of like, I had a real sit down with myself earlier this year where I was like, I have to really work on like not allowing sort of like false intimacy, because I don't like the feeling of disappointing people is so horrific to me, that the idea that somebody would like engage with me in a really intimate way quickly and then I would disappoint them is, I mean, I'm really like going, this is.
Yeah, no, we share that. I mean,
do you feel that way?
Absolutely.
Because you're very like, I remember you and I were at a barbecue together a couple of years ago, and I like immediately sat down and was like, it's been a pretty weird summer, Justin. Yeah, and, like, I felt very safe with you.
Yes, and likewise. And I remember talking to my now ex-girlfriend afterwards about that.
Sorry.
And, yeah, no, it's.
We both broke up with the people we brought to the barbecue.
Yeah, both musicians.
Yep, both musicians. Yeah,
both friends. I think that's why we were there.
Yeah, we were both the musicians. Yes. They're friends with each other, collaborators. Yeah. And then wouldn't it be amazing if the story was like, and then we took them to the barbecue and they fell in love and we both had to move out that day.
Well, we would have saved the time. We would have gotten to our next place in life quicker.
My God. Why is everyone always breaking up all the time?
I know.
I read the Daily Mail. I know.
Yeah. But you, in terms of feeling comfortable with somebody, I think that is, it's something that I mean, this is like embarrassing to admit, but I want people to like me. I like when people like me. I like to be liked. And it's narcissism.
Wanting people to like you, like, that's what it is. I mean, I have this tattoo on my arm that says love me.
You went to the wrong arm. I just remember people listening.
I did go to the wrong arm. But I always look at my Love Me tattoo and I'm like, I got it sort of because it's a piece of art that an artist I love who passed away did. But
like, and it looks like a Valentine.
It's like a candy heart that says love me. But we all want to be liked. Like that's
– yeah.
I feel like we have such a tendency to criticize our own desire to please. But it's like that in and of itself is not a problem. What's a problem is if you like present falsely or you want people to like you because you don't feel safe in yourself.
Right. I mean, if you're working out other things that should come out in therapy or something.
Totally.
But then how do you reconcile that? This is the big question.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile that with, I mean, certainly the amount of flack that you've gotten for the things that you've said, the missteps, the public missteps. I mean, that's the flip side to living this kind of public life. How do you deal with that then?
It's kind of an interesting thing. I've been thinking about this lately, which is like, people were like, when I started, people were like, she's so honest. Like, she's really raw. She's really showing what a fucked up kind of creature she is. And then it's an interesting thing that you do that. You show people who you are.
And you're celebrated for it.
And then you make mistakes. Right. People are like, but not those kinds.
Right. Weird.
And I just hope that the mistakes I've made and the kind of conversation I've created around them are something that was helpful to someone, because I don't mind being criticized at this point. Like, it's such a part of my DNA. Like, I was never a popular kid.
Was there a moment that you became popular? I mean, whatever that means. Because we both exist in this, Hollywood is a sort of like, you know, version of
sort
that.
Sort of been a relief. Like, when girls first started and I would like, you know, go to parties and people would be like, I love you. I love the show. I love everything you do. I'd love to work with you or whatever the thing people all do to each other when they see each other. At an awards show.
You jerk each other on.
Yeah. The last few years of my life have really been about like a kind of sloughing off of the people who were actually not truly engaged with me or my work and the people who are left. Mm. Like I was just talking with my oldest friend Joanna today and we were like just literally sitting at the children's bookstore like drinking coffee and talking, and I was like all the people who I actually was like in these false relationships with are gone. And that's the gift also of going through really hard stuff, is that like if people don't really love you, they don't want to hang around. And so what you're left with are people who love you and understand you.
It's a real
you.
Litmus test. There's a great line in Almost Famous that Phil Hoffman says where he goes, the only real currency in this bankrupt world is what you share with your friends when you're uncool.
You're a really gifted impressionist.
Thanks.
That was great. That you're kind of like really like you did a great walk-in.
That's crazy. But Phil's closer to me because I love him. I like doing people that I, you know, really
that you admire. It's cool to be able to do I can't even begin.
No,
the other night was doing this. I did like the tiniest, silliest but very fun cameo in the play that the Beastie Boys are doing.
Oh, wow.
Spike Jones is one of my best friends, and he told me to come and play Bob Dylan, and I did it, but I can't. He was like, do your best Bob Dylan voice. And
come
I was
on.
Like, I don't have a best Bob Dylan voice.
Everyone's got a Bob Dylan voice.
I was kind of like, it was kind of like, come on, man. Like, it was so stupid. Uh-huh. It wasn't good at all. I can't do it. That's why when I did SNL, I was like, this is not,
that's
I
right.
can't do any of these. Like, they were like, can you do any characters? And I was like, yeah, I have like a 5-year-old I do who loves the subway. She's like just a 5-year-old who loves the subway.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, no, like people who exist. And I was like, oh, no, I can't do that.
But and yet you capture different voices so accurately. So
I love writing different people. And I feel like I can do impersonations of people's ideas and attitudes.
So that's how you channel it.
I do an impression of my agent. She always goes, if you say to her, like, I just don't necessarily feel like these people understand the female characters. And she goes, correct. About everything.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply. If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
You're a great student of the, you know, human behavior and
I try.
An observer.
I try. It's funny because I've been
an astute observer.
Don't bring that impression out.
Sorry.
I mean,
but what about
you
that?
You can do it with me, but
yeah, this is safe.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, no, we don't have to cut it. But I'm just saying, if you're meeting new friends.
Right.
And you don't know if you're meeting new friends in the New York theater scene.
Right. And it doesn't go over well.
If you're looking for a girlfriend at a feminist bookshop.
Right.
Or, as one does.
But was he must have been somewhat of an influence.
I definitely had. It's funny, though, like it wasn't as much like there are things I really love about Woody Allen, of course. And I really love that he introduced really the biggest thing is that he introduced me to a lot of my favorite actresses.
Oh, interesting.
So like. Diane Keaton, Diane Wiest, Mia Farrow, like these, you know, Mira Sorvino, like the.
That's the irony. He wrote incredible parts for women.
Yeah, and cast really great women.
Yeah.
And so I feel lucky to have that those women were brought to my awareness by those movies.
Yeah.
And I was really into Mike Nichols as a kid.
Oh,
like,
sure.
That's a big one for me. I was lucky enough to meet him. I love Elaine May. Like, I love that time in New York, but I have like a slightly. I'm an anxious Jew, but But anxious Jew comedies, like, not my full, not my area.
Interesting.
Quote on anxious Jew comedy is not my area, says Lena Dunham to to angry crowd of
anxious Jews.
Bat mitzvah goers.
Yeah. But then how do you separate that? I mean, like, any value that you do find, let's say even if it's a performance of Mia's in you know, if let's say it's Hannah and her sisters and all those great female performances, how do you watch those movies still? How do you separate the
art?
I
don't. I think it's hard for me to watch them now. I think just knowing what I know and the cultural discourse that takes place, it's just like, it's not like I couldn't watch it and appreciate it, but it's sort of like, why don't I just watch something that gives me full joy?
Yeah, sure.
Because there is so much stuff that gives me full joy.
Right.
And there is so much, like, it's the same way where I was just saying to someone the other day, they were like, how am I going to relegate the Michael Jackson of it all? And I'm like, there's other music.
That's true.
So much.
That's right.
Go on iTunes. Like, it's not like it's, but also for me, like, I like to just keep expanding. Like, I'm not like, are you a person who likes to watch the same movies over and over at night for comfort?
Yes.
See, that's a different, like, that's
it's like hanging out with an old friend.
Yeah. See, I almost never watch a movie twice.
Oh,
sometimes I'll watch it like 1.5 times, but I'm sort of obsessed with the idea that, like, I'm going to leave the world not having consumed enough.
Oh,
so if I consume anything twice, it's like a waste of my
time. Oh, okay. Well, I think about that a lot. How do you spend your time? I mean, the name of the show is Life is Short, and not because
life
it's like.
Life is short.
Exactly.
But it's also, so, I was saying this to my best friend today. She was like, life is short. She's like, but it's also so long. And then she said
it's
the
true.
Best thing. She was like, and it's the exact amount of time we need.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I was like.
Well, not if you're Richie Valens, you know, or Buddy Holly. I mean,
no, they
needed more time.
They needed more time.
Yeah. But then, so then I wrestle with what, and you just sort of answered this in a way. What do you do with that time? How do you fill that time? And we also talked about this in terms of like the time
Excess.
You give to people. Yes. And,
yeah.
and the energy. That's a lot. When you're a people pleaser like we are, that takes a lot of fucking energy to
it
go
does.
To those parties. And
I don't do it anymore. I mean, I made a rule at the beginning of this year that I wasn't going to any parties that had more than 5 people at
them. I heard you say that.
And
yes.
I've mostly kept it.
Did that have anything to do with, did you ever have social anxiety? Was that, because I took Klonopin briefly because of social anxiety.
It works.
It works. Yeah.
Klonopin works for social anxiety for a little while.
Yes.
The thing about all those medications is that what we don't talk about is like, it's the same with opiates. It's like, they're meant to be taken for a short-term problem. They're not a long-term solution.
Yeah.
And so that is like the thing that is the issue with having such a kind of, I mean, this all like has to do with our, so much to say about this, but also to do with like our fractured medical system and the fact that we don't have people getting real daily attention from doctors and like no one's getting the amount of time they need with their medical professionals, and medical professionals want to fix things as quickly as they can.
Yeah.
Not to blame them, but they have a million patients
of
and a quota to fill.
It's
and
it's so broken.
It's just so broken that there's nobody to explain how these things work. But yeah, I've totally had periods of social anxiety, but it's more like, I'm not a person who goes to a party and is like, what am I going to say to everyone? I'm scared. It's more that it takes deeply from me.
Do you gravitate toward, you know, people that you know, people that you find comfort?
Yes. Yeah. I have like my best friends.
Yeah.
I keep them all in my iPhone favorites to make sure that I like to contact them once a day just so
oh
that they
God.
Know I love them.
That's impressive.
Thank you. But they would probably be like, but she never leaves her house and like I never get to see her.
My friend would call that watering your friendship. She would say, I'm not good at watering my relationships.
I love to water my relationships. If a friend ever says to me like, I feel like you haven't been focused on me or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, because it's actually like something I pride myself on.
Wow. Yeah.
Is being able to stay
in
touch with the people that I love.
They just told me you got to leave in 5 minutes.
What?
Yes, this is upsetting for me too. But
I'm so sorry, Justin.
No. I want to quickly.
I would never do this, but I'm running a business with Michael, and I guess he needs me.
Of course. I just want to circle back really quickly.
The
potential to offend and why I'm drawn to people who there is very little potential to offend. You strike me as somebody who has such a high threshold for things like that. How are you offended? I'm so curious. What would offend you? I mean, what
does it? Great question. That's a really great question, because I was actually thinking the other day, like, oh my God, it's so hard. I think that the thing that offends me most in people is like a lack of empathy.
Right.
I find it really, one of the things I love about sobriety, which you and I texted about yesterday, is I love the fact that when you meet in groups with other people who have experienced challenging times and you hear their stories, like, it's almost impossible for me not to love someone when I've heard the story of their life. And I think when I meet people, or when I encounter in a friend, or when I encounter in the public or the media or in art, a lack of empathy for people and their experience, it's like really offensive to me. Because I think that being able to think about the interior life of someone who is not you is like the greatest thing we can undertake.
I think that's why you're a great writer. I think you have an empathetic eye toward your characters, even the ones who are deeply flawed. And I have to tell you, of all the things that you've done and you've created, I have a deep admiration for your willingness to talk about flaws, because I think it's so rare now. It's so important too.
I mean, they say all the time, 2019. All the time, it's like, it's hard to be a person. It's hard
Absolutely.
Work. It's very brave to keep going. And I feel that more now than I ever have. It's funny because I'm turning 33 and I feel so old, Justin. I feel like I've just been around for maybe it's my trick knee, but I feel like I've been around for a long time.
I'm going to get to some short questions really quick.
Yeah.
Because I think
you're sure that 5 minutes can be 10.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well,
Michael's a kind but benevolent leader.
You have to apologize for a lot of things. Are there degrees to which you...
There's a bunch of stuff I haven't apologized for, because I feel like I only really want to apologize when it feels as though my real position about things has been like misrepresented.
Yeah.
And so if I feel like a group of people who it's important to me to make them feel safe, feel unheard, but I don't have the same relationship to social media that I used to. Like, I do share things, but I'm not bobbing around on there every
That's
day.
That's big, right? To go back and read the stuff and like,
yeah,
it's almost like guerrilla warfare. You want to like, you post a thing and you...
I post and I run.
Right.
I post and run, but also I don't post to the same degree. And I honestly were in such a kind of... I used to share a lot about my political beliefs. I'm much more chill. I've sort of picked my battles. And my battle is like, if there's a cause, I really only share personal things if I think they can be useful to other people, rather than just a sort of... I think when I was younger, I maybe was not as discerning. And I was sort of like, don't anyone... if anyone I love tried to tell me like, hey, Lena, maybe you didn't need to like post your feelings about that in the middle of the afternoon, I'd be like, don't try to control me. And now I would love for someone to try to control me.
Who has control over you in your life? Who do you go to?
My parents are a big one. Like, I really try to listen to them. I respect their opinion. And also, they're such a support to me. And they're so like my partners in the world in a certain way that it's important to me that they feel comfortable.
And they've been creative partners. Despite your mother's seeming reticence sometimes to have her stuff out there, she always
thinks I'm a walking disaster, but we're best friends. And my dad is one of my best friends, and my sibling is one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, the people I work with, like I run a company, and the people that work for me, Michael, Liz, Soham, Marissa, it's important to me that they feel safe and like that the company is not just about like pushing my voice forward, but it's about bringing together, and we together make a real, like we have a diverse array of perspectives, and I want them to feel like they are heard.
Yeah,
and like they're part of it, because I'm not interested in this is a democracy, not a cheerocracy.
Yeah. Hey, bring it on, reference. Short question, really short.
Yeah.
If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play and why?
Hockey. I just went to my first ever sports game. I'm so excited to be able to talk about this.
What?
I'd never been to a sports game. I went to the last Rangers home game of the season.
Oh, my God.
I sat by the rink, whatever that's called, ringside.
I think
firstly,
it is, right?
I was so turned on.
Get out of here.
It's crazy how hot they are. And I do not have an interest in athletes. I do not have an interest in hot bodies. I do not have an interest in masculinity. And I was like, I was with my friend who's a straight up lesbian. And she was like, I am horny. Like,
get
it was
out of
so
here.
Intense. And they gave me a t-shirt. And then one of the guys threw me a t-shirt. And then someone gave, this other guy gave me a puck.
What?
Yes.
That's not a metaphor for anything. He gave you an actual...
No, he like handed me a puck.
Yeah, I can make that joke with you because
I felt crazy. I was like, oh my God.
And he pucked you.
Yeah, he pucked me. And then also I was like sitting in this area that was all these like super like season tickets hockey people.
Uh-huh.
And they were all like, can you believe Zibanejad got a shootout? And I was like, no, it's crazy. Like I had no idea what was going on.
You just assimilated immediately because you like...
Because I was aroused.
Are you going to now watch hockey games? Are you going to be a fan?
No, never again.
If you could have one snack food for the rest of your life, what would it be? And do you smoke pot? I mean, that's a subset of it.
No, I don't smoke pot because I'm sober. So
right?
I don't
that's
do
right.
any...
That's right.
I don't do any drugs except antihistamines. If I could have one snack food for the rest
of... You smoke a lot of Claritin.
And I love snacks. Mm-hmm. And I guess my rice pudding
is my
favorite food.
Okay. What's your favorite movie of all time?
My favorite movie of all
Mike
time
Nichols.
Is probably the original Heartbreak Kid.
Okay, but Charles Grodin. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I used to
Charles
do a Grodin
impression. And Jeannie Berlin, when Jeannie Berlin covers herself in mayonnaise once she has a sunburn. It's like one of the great scenes of all time.
Yes. Other than LA and New York, where would you want to live?
London.
London, okay.
I love London.
If you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, who you've never met before.
I would want to have dinner with Sally Rooney. She's an Irish novelist. She just had a book come out called Normal People. I love it, and God I would want to ask her questions.
What a cool answer.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I would like to have dinner with The Rock.
Really?
I love him.
Dwayne Johnson or some other guy nicknamed
Dwayne
The Rock?
Johnson. I love him. Sean I wish Epstein. He was my dad.
Really? What do you
feelings
love
about him are totally. I went to see San. What's that one movie called?
San Andreas.
San Andreas in the theater with 3D glasses.
Wow.
And he saves his daughter, his like hot
Alexandra
dog.
Daddario.
Yes.
Yes, a Palomite, yeah.
Yeah, I just love that they like make his daughter so hot.
Yeah, and, well, like, she would be hot.
Yeah, totally. But she's like hot and the right age to be his wife. It's all great. But yeah. I just was like, I love this man. He makes me feel safe. Like, I want to dangle from a helicopter purely so he can pull me back up into it.
I can sort of see that he's comforting. He's got a comforting, almost non-threatening.
Yep.
What a rare combination.
I love it. And the third person I would want to have dinner with is oh, I know exactly who it is. It's Paula Scher. She started a design studio called Pentagram, and she like designs like all of our favorite logos.
God, I wish that dinner would happen only so I could sort of watch The Rock,
engage with Sally Rooney and Paula Scher.
Be a little bit out of his element, but probably charm the pants off.
Yeah,
both
everyone
of them.
Would love him. They'd all go in being like, "We have to have dinner with this
great.
Guy."
Yeah,
all he's
going
to talk about is his meat intake,
and then, he's just going to surprise them with his knowledge of like feminist literature. Who's your favorite Muppet? Yeah, and or if you identify
Janice.
With any
Janice.
I'm
a Janice.
Oh, great. Oh, I love Janice. Oh my God. okay, what's most commonly used emoji if you use them? I don't know.
And the one that I like is the foggy window pane.
What? Which one is
if
that?
If you write fog, there's like a foggy window pane. There's like just a square of fog. And it's a fun answer because it's sort of like ambiguous. And like someone can be like, what are you doing this evening? I don't know, foggy window pane, like that kind of thing. Oh, I send it a lot to my dad.
And is it accompanied? Does he give you that one? The like, I don't
my
know.
My dad's
what's going on
favorite here. One is the like, the yellow face that's like holding up a spyglass to its eye. That's interesting. Like that one.
Yeah. Sleuthy.
Yeah.
If you had a vanity plate on your car, I doubt you would, but what was your, what
I don't
your
know how
say?
To drive. But if I had a vanity plate, it would be like, my friend Collier informed me that Irene from The Real World started an organization. This is just the first thing that occurred to me. She started a charitable organization for Lyme disease called Naps for Lyme.
Naps.
Where people are supposed to take naps and like have people like pledge money.
Uh-huh.
And I would want a license plate that said Naps for Lyme.
Oh, that's great. To promote it. And it's also kind of funny.
Yeah, to talk about
the
Naps, not Lyme disease, and people would ask questions. And
yeah.
I could be like, well,
check out my license plate.
Yeah, check out my license plate, which helps with Irene from Real World's organization, Naps for Lyme.
Lastly, I want to get back to the podcast. Your podcast is launched now.
Yeah, I co-host it with one of my best friends. Her name's Alyssa Bennett. She's like a real historian. She's much, much smarter than me and anyone else we know because
Jesus.
She's not in the entertainment industry. And she's a genius.
I don't know. I can't believe I have to remind you that you're very smart. So she must be intimidatingly.
She's insanely smart. Uh-huh. We actually met in college. I was a freshman and I was 18. She was a freshman and she was 26 because she had, wait for it, a successful modeling career in Belgium first.
Of course.
So it's so rude when someone's so smart and like literally was a successful runway model.
Yeah. You think, God, what did God, what flaw?
Yeah, get it together.
Yeah, I hope there's something.
But she's the best and so funny. And we have a really great time hosting the podcast together. And maybe you want to come on sometime and talk about your favorite crazy woman of history.
I would love to. And this is about, the C word refers to women throughout.
Who've been called crazy throughout history. And we kind of try to do a deep dive into their lives and explain why maybe we have to live with a little empathy for them after all.
Well, you are the embodiment of that. I think you've shown it in your work. And I want to thank you for contributing to our culture and your voice. I know that sounds, but I mean it.
My epitaph is going to say, Justin was so sweet to her.
any Justin, Bartha, yeah. Thoreau. Yeah. I honestly think we're better off for it, and I want to thank you for coming
thank
on
you.
My show.
It
this show is
honor.
Definitely better off for it.
I love this show.
Oh, God.
This is my favorite show.
Oh, you don't have
it's
to say
my
that.
Go-to show. It's the rice pudding of shows.
Oh, that means a lot. Knowing how much that means to you. So thank you, and thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
So that happened. So what were your thoughts?
My overarching thought throughout was I felt like I was eavesdropping on a really interesting conversation in a restaurant,
huh.
Like the table next to me.
Because you could hear clinking of plates.
Yeah, because you kept asking rudely for more food. I felt like I was at a restaurant and I was jealous of the table next to me because they were having a better time than I was having.
Oh, that's...
I thought it was interesting that she said she never watches or rarely watches a movie twice because she's obsessed with this idea that she'll leave the world without consuming enough.
Yeah.
And that certainly ties into the life is short theme of the show in that she wants to do as much as possible while she's here. And watching Home Alone for the second time, you'd be like, you know that the parents are going to come back at the end. You're like, why
what?
Watch that again?
Wait,
oh,
what?
I'm sorry. Shit. Spoiler alert. America.
Thanks a lot. Parents come back?
She also says the way she thinks about dying, and mm-hmm. she talks about how there's, you know, people who want to try everything and just do everything, and that also includes dying. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm not ready to do it yet, but that one day will be an experience to have as part of life, and that... And it makes it less scary somehow.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she talked about also that in her 20s, she went through so much shit. So now she feels more comfortable with the idea of dying.
To lose something that vital, just physically, to see a part of your anatomy, a vital part of your anatomy, and like to lose that already, it's...
Yeah, it's like reduced to something... tangible.
Yeah.
And
well, that happened.
Well, that happened.
Yeah, but it must be somewhat. Yeah. And she talks about that more eloquently than I could. That is kind of comforting to her.
A few other little observations.
Yeah.
You talk about getting a tattoo from Green Day.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I'm now regretting.
I've heard you tell that story.
Yeah.
And I am concerned with the way grandma and our grandmother and mother listening to this because they both view tattoos as, I don't know where this comes from. And I know, I mean, it's a different generation and everything, but they think people with tattoos are like...
They hate tattoos with a passion that I've not ever...
It like impugns someone's character to have tattoos, which is so strange.
She will write off... I mean, you could be the most impressive. She'd write off like Obama if she found out that he had a little tattoo.
Yeah.
Like the Chinese symbol for hope. On his lower back. Got it when I was in college. I can admit to it. She hates them so much. And I'm now... So now, Mom, I'm talking to you directly. I'm now talking to one person and Grandma. I'm talking to two people. The tattoo has since faded to the point where it's no longer a tattoo. There's no ink on my skin. They're just little indentations.
Neither of whom know how to listen to podcasts.
Yeah,
so
thank God.
You're actually talking to nobody right now.
So we're all done with that episode.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. I hope you enjoyed that last pun. Yeah, that's why I leaned it into it the way I did.
It was a good pun-em.
Nice.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do-do-do-do-do-shaboom.
So thank you guys for listening to Life is Short. And if you like the show, again, please give us a 5-star review. I hate groveling, but that's where we're at. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and, you know, every major listening app. Our theme song is performed by our friend Harmar Superstar. Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long, produced by Christian Long and Megan Monaco. Senior producer is Michelle Lanz. Executive produced by Marsha Louie and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
How would you react if Christian came home and let's say he was showing you a tattoo that said Pearl? Pearl
with
forever.
With a heart around it.
I would go,
no, no, no. What would you really do? Okay, go. You show it.
Where is it?
It's on your arm.
What do you think?
I think it's unfortunate. That's what I think.
You seem to be so calm. You're taking it very well.
And I also think that I'm hoping it's one of those decals.
It's not. It's permanent
now, see?
I swear, it's permanent.
Well, that's very foolish. That's all. It's very foolish. You want to look like an idiot.
Well, you're so chill about this.
So I know you didn't really do it.
Oh, but it's improv. How would you...
I just want to see me get all upset. Leave me alone. Jeez.
No, I'm curious how you would, what you would say.
What the f*** did you do?
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.